This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Hello and welcome to another lecture in Construction Management 422. And today we're going to be talking about stakeholder management. So we're going to introduce who the stakeholders are and how to manage them. What are the different requirements for their management? So in a brief definition, project stakeholders are individuals or organizations actively involved with the project. They have to have some stake in the project or interest in the project. They make decisions affecting its performance. So they're going to be either affecting or they might be affected by the project. Their interests may be affected as a result of a project execution or completion. So some stakeholders might be interested in the project. They want the project to be achieved. And some are going to be opposed to the project. They want to stop the project as much as they can. Stakeholders' requirements may be implicit, not explicitly stated. So you might have to do some work to understand what exactly do these stakeholders want from the project. And stakeholders may have conflicting interests and objectives, which makes managing them not an easy task. So we're going to look at a tool that's called the power interest chart. Assume, for example, that you have two stakeholders, one who wants the project to be done and one who wants to stop the project. Both of them have a certain weight. How to balance that weight? Of course, as you can see, their interests are opposed. So you cannot achieve the two objectives at the same time, the two opposing objectives at the same time. Therefore, we have to prioritize these stakeholders and see which one are we going to take care of first. Some sample stakeholders, as it appears on the screen here, include, of course, anyone who's involved with the project at different layers and different levels of importance. So you have the project team, you have the project manager, of course, that's the main stakeholders, the project sponsor, the client or the owner, the one who authorized that project, the project management team that's going to be managing the project with the project manager. So, and then we have a wider circle on the outside that has project stakeholders. These may even include the public at large. So for example, if you're going to build a sewage treatment plant, whoever is going to be living downwind from the sewage treatment plant is going to be negatively affected. Anyone who's living upwind from the sewage treatment plant, they're not going to get the smell. They actually welcome the construction of the sewage treatment plant because it's going to take care of the sewage problem. Therefore, some stakeholders are going to be, even within the public, some stakeholders are going to be affected positively and some are going to be affected negatively. So to manage stakeholders, we have basically four different tasks or four different steps. The first one, we need to identify the stakeholders. Without knowing who they are, we're not going to be able to manage them. And then the second step, once we identify them, is going to be to plan the stakeholder management. How are we going to deal with these different stakeholders? The third step is going to be to manage the stakeholder engagement. How are we going to communicate with them? What kind of message? How frequent that message is going to be? And then finally, control stakeholder engagement based on the feedback that we get from managing them. So the stakeholder management plan is a document which is a component of the project management plan defining the management strategies to actively and effectively engaging stakeholders. This plan can either be formal or informal, highly detailed or broadly framed based on the needs of the project and how complex the project is. Starting with the stakeholder management plan, some of the components of the plan would address the desired and current engagement levels of the stakeholders. So sometimes you have a stakeholder engaged at a certain level. You want to increase that engagement or you want to decrease that engagement. Scope and impact of the change to the stakeholders. How is that project going to affect the stakeholders? Identified interrelationships and potential overlap between stakeholders. If you can group them into a group of supporters, a group of neutrals, a group of adversaries, it's going to be easier to manage the message to these different groups. Information to be distributed to stakeholders. if you have a stakeholder who have very limited interest in the project, you don't want to bombard them with detailed information about the project. On the other hand, the project owner, for example, or the project client or the project sponsor, they need to get all the details. So the level of communication and the message itself is going to be different. Reasons for distribution of the information and the expected impact or response from the stakeholders. Assume, for example, a publicly traded company. The stakeholders in this case, some of them are going to be the shareholders. If the company has achieved a certain success, you want to share that with the stakeholders, correct? So you're going to have, for example, an annual meeting, a meeting held at a hotel or a public place, and you're going to share your successes with them. On the other hand, if there are some failures, you want to keep these failures up to a minimum limit so that it doesn't impact your stock price and the company at large. Time frame and frequency of information dissemination. When should you submit this information or disseminate it? And how often? Is it going to be a quarterly report? Is it going to be an annual report? Is it going to be a weekly update? The method of updating and refining the stakeholder management plan as the project develops. As any other element of the project, you set it at the beginning and you keep watching it as it develops. It's not set it and forget it. So the stakeholders might change. Some of them may be added, some of them may be removed. Therefore, we have to keep a watchful eye on this plan. One of the documents that we can use to manage stakeholders, the first document is going to be called the stakeholder register. So basically, we have to write down the names of the stakeholders, we have to list them, and then we have to identify what are their interests in the project, and then we have to classify them or assess their impact. So we're going to have three broad categories. You can enlarge that as much as you want. You can have the 10 categories, more or less, depending on how granular you want your definition to be. So if we divide them into three groups, we're going to classify them as A, B, or C. A basically are the top. So their interest in the project is anywhere between 8 to 10 on a scale of 10. Very highly interested in the project. B is somewhere in between. Their interest is going to be anywhere between 5 and 7. And C is anyone less than 5. So basically, if we have to prioritize, we're going to take care of B, of A first, and then B, and if we do have time, then we're going to take care of C. And then the last column is potential strategies for obtaining support or reducing obstacles. What are the different strategies that we're going to follow? So for example, for A, we want to maximize our interest and their interest in the project and their support for the project. If there's an A who's opposed to the project, we want to reduce or minimize that opposition as much as we can. Another document is very similar to that first one, is another elaboration on that stakeholder register. So again, in the first column, we have the stakeholder name, the communication approach. How are we going to communicate with them? And that's going to be based on the power interest or the power influence grid that that we're going to see in a moment. What are the key interests and issues? Why are they interested in the project? And if they are opposed, what are their issues with the project? What is their current status? Their current status could be either neutral. That neutral we want to sway to be a supporter of the project. If they're an opponent of the project, we want to sway them to at least being neutral. What is the desired support? If we have an advocate for the project or a supporter for the project, is there any active role that they can play to help the project be completed? What is the desired project role? Are we going to assign a certain role to them? What are the designed actions and what kind of messages are going to be sent or communicated to these stakeholders? And what are the actions and communication? So there are some analytical techniques that can help us deal with these stakeholders or manage them. And these include the classification of the initial and perceived stakeholder behavior and methods to influence it along project phases. So basically we can classify the stakeholders as either unaware, they could be gained with positive message, they don't know about the project, but if we excite them about the project, they may be supporters. Resistant, which is opposite to that, could be gained through better information and concessions. We are going to do this for you in order to support the project. If you remember, if you have taken the 324 class with me, if you remember, we had a video called Skyscraper. And the skyscraper, basically, there was a developer who wanted to build a skyscraper in downtown Manhattan. And it was close to an area that was called Clinton or Hell's Kitchen, which was a blue-collar, middle-class environment or neighborhood. And some of the residents of that neighborhood were against the construction of this high-rise building that's going to be quite expensive and it might affect the value of their property and so on. So as a concession, the developer promised that he is going to upgrade their apartments within a certain perimeter around the building. He's going to upgrade their apartment. He put them in hotels until these apartments were upgraded. This is a big concession. So basically, if you're going to upgrade my apartment for free, I'm definitely going to be a supporter for your project. If they're neutral, keep them informed. If they're not going to move to support the project, at least keep them informed about the development on the project. If they're supporting, give them an active advocate role, not only to be verbally supportive, but we want them to be actually supportive of the project through actions. And finally, if they are leading, make them actively involved to promote the project agenda. You want to gain them on your side. So again, we can, another way of classifying these stakeholders, we're going to list their names, and here are the five different classifications: unaware, resistant, neutral, supportive, and leading. We can write down what is the current status with the letter C, and then what is the desired status with the letter D. So for example, for stakeholder number one, he or she was unaware of the project. We want them to be supportive of the project. Therefore, what kind of actions are we going to do to move them from one column to another? You definitely do not want to move a neutral to resistant, or you don't want to move anyone in the resistance. So you have to take care of your actions to make sure that no one becomes resistant as a reaction to an action that you have performed. Another analytic tool, which is the power interest chart, and that enables us to recognize initially where are the stakeholders and then gradually move them within that matrix as much as we can. So on the horizontal axis, we have the interest, which can be broken down into 5 or 10 different grades. Right now, we have 3 different grades: low, medium, or high. And then when it comes to the power, we also have on the vertical axis low, medium, and high. If you have someone with low interest and low power, you don't have to do much effort with them. All you have to do is just monitor them. So that's going to be a minimum effort. On the other hand, if we have someone with high interest but low power, just keep them informed. Make them feel as if they are part of the project. If we have someone with low interest but high power, keep them satisfied. But finally, if we have someone who has high power and high interest, these are the key stakeholders. This is the group A that we have identified in the first table. And you have to manage them closely to make sure that you are moving them 45 degrees to the northeast to maximize their interest and their power and their role for the project. Other classification techniques would include something very similar to the power interest chart that's called power influence grid. Another one is the influence impact grid, another derivation of that grid as well. And the last one is called a salience model, which is a little bit more detailed, which is a three-dimensional analysis focusing on the stakeholders' power or ability to impact the project, that's one dimension, their urgency or need for immediate attention, that's a second dimension, and finally their legitimacy of their demands. That's the third dimension. So based on the salience model, it's going to look something like this. So we have the three intersecting circles: power, legitimacy, and urgency. The intersection of all three circles, that's going to be the most important group to take care of first. So this is definitive. Number seven is definitive stakeholder that we have to keep on top of our communication. Someone who has power but does not have legitimacy or urgency, they are dormant. Someone who has legitimacy but not power or urgency, discretionary, if you have time, deal with them. Someone who only have urgency, that's demanding. Again, try to satisfy them as much as you can. And then we have the intersections. We have a dominant, which is the intersection between legitimacy and power. That's going to be close to the fourth quadrant, the red quadrant on the power interest chart. Dangerous, that's someone who has power and urgency. You have to address them quickly because, again, if you snooze, you lose. You're going to lose their interest. They might change from a supporter to an adversary of the project. Number six is dependent. They are legitimate and they have urgency, but they do not have much power. If they're number eight, which falls out of these three circles, they're not a stakeholder in the project. Don't even bother or worry about them. To manage stakeholder engagement, this process includes activities such as engaging stakeholders at different project phases to ensure their continuous support. So again, we're going to reevaluate these stakeholders as the project progresses from one phase to another. You have, for example, an inspector. And that inspector is going to be very important close to the end of the project, but not necessarily at the very beginning. You have a surveyor. That is going to be quite interesting and quite important at the very beginning of the project, but probably not as important towards the end. Managing the stakeholders' expectations, especially in cases of diversity, ensuring project goals are achieved, especially, as I said, if we have conflicting interests in the project. Timely addressing concerns before becoming issues. The sooner you address these concerns, the better, because you're going to nip them in the bud at a very low stage before they escalate and become dangerous issues for the project. Clarifying and resolving issues as they arise. So again, the sooner you address the issues, the better. The lower the level of resolution, the better, before they escalate to higher levels. For that, you're going to need some interpersonal skills. As we mentioned before, project management is an art and a science. This is basically in the part of the art. How are you going to be able to deal personally with these different individuals or these different entities? So in order to effectively manage stakeholders' expectations, the project manager will apply interpersonal skills such as building trust. You're going to need to gain their trust. Resolving conflict. Again, I keep repeating, at the lowest level as much as possible. Active listening. You have to listen to their concerns, to their worries, to their complaints, to their advice, to their suggestions. And overcoming resistance to change. One of the most repetitive impediments to the project success is going to be, this is not the way we used to do it. So be open to change. If someone suggests a new idea different from what you're used to, at least listen to it and entertain it and see if it's feasible and it can help improve the outcome of the project. Some management skills are going to also be needed, including facilitating consensus toward project objectives. You're going to try to clarify, to explain, to show the benefits, and to synthesize these benefits and try to achieve as much synergy as much as possible. Influencing people to support the project. Negotiating settlements and agreements, compromise, if there are going to be any claims, they have to be settled. Modifying organizational behavior to accept project outcomes. Organizational process assets update. The organizational process assets, as we mentioned before, are the documents and the templates that your organization uses to manage the project. So, stakeholder notifications, what kind of message, its form and frequency, is it going to be push or is it going to be pull? So push, basically, we're going to send an email to each stakeholder or to the important stakeholders. Pull, we're going to post the information online. Whoever is interested, they might be able to download it or to view it. Project reports, including lessons learned, issues log, risk breakdown structure, and project closure reports. These are documents that have to be included in your project closeout report at the end. Project presentations, from time to time, through progress meetings, for example, or stakeholders meeting, you're going to have to present the status of the project. This is how we started. This is where we are right now. These are the challenges. These are the issues that we have to deal with, and these are our solutions, etc. Project records. You have to keep documentation, the paper trail of these records, because you might need them in the future. And most importantly, feedback from stakeholders, because for a new project, you're going to use this as lessons learned from the previous projects. And that's basically our presentation about stakeholder management. I hope our class discussion is going to elaborate on that even more. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer these.